It's Valentine's Day, and there might be no greater fairy tale romance than the one between the city of Chicago and pizza.
The religion of pizza in Chicago is definitely a thing.
For so many people, for millions of people, it's their childhood.
It's like, boom, it takes you back. It's the flavor of nostalgia.
And lately, on a national scale, the focus has been away from deep dish and more so on thin, sometimes ultra-thin, crunchy, tavern style, in small square cuts that still pack a wallop of taste and texture.
Oftentimes when people talk about Chicago-style pizza, they're thinking stuffed. And so that's typically kind of a one-note experience.
And during lockdown, it seems that both restaurateurs and your average home cooks have attempted to elevate the tavern-style craft to a whole new level.
Pizza is so much about time and temperature. And with a tavern style, it is kind of dummy-proof.
And yet it still can be like a really fine expression of technique. And I think that's one of the big challenges and the exciting things for chefs too, feeling like, you know, challenge accepted.
I'm Jim Hanke, and this week we're crafting a love letter to tavern style pizza in Chicagoland, how it can be best done at home, and who's already making some of the best in the city. Let's get looped in, Chicago. You could say that research is one of the best parts of my job. And this week, that research involved hitting up Bungalow by Middlebrow in the Logan Square area as they made their version of tavern-style pizza. This particular one was topped with ham, onion, and pineapple jardinera.
That's fantastic. Pineapple jardinera is amazing. That's really good. Super crunchy, super crisp, sweet, like a perfect mix of sweet and savory, like yowza. This is incredible. This is really good. Wow.
No joke, this was one of the best pizzas I've had in recent memory. It was a 10 out of 10 for me in sweetness, with the pineapple, saltiness, and crunch, because as you probably know, one of the major selling points on tavern style is that it's supposed to be thin and crispy, like fingernail thin, as opposed to the doughy deep dish that Chicago has become known for over the decades. You can check out video of my visit on our socials this week at WBBM News Radio 105.9 on TikTok and over on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at WBBM News Radio. Carolyn, the pizza chef who made this particular pie at Bungalow by Middlebrow, told me a bit more about it as I tried not to devour the whole thing.
So yeah, we finished it with a little bit of Malden and this pineapple jardinera. Tucker at the bakery made this. It's charred pineapple deglazed with some sherry. And then it's mixed with like a mild Chicago style jardinera and seasoned with a little bit of sherry vinegar. Pretty cool condiment. It's kind of interesting how the pineapple goes so well with the jardinera. It's like texturally similar in a way. And then also like it's nice to kind of sweeten it up.
Major publications as of late, like Bloomberg and Esquire, have tried to capture why this particular style of pizza is sweeping the nation. And recently, Chicago Tribune food critic Louisa Chu spotlighted Bungalow by Middlebrow as doing one of the best newer takes on tavern style. Later in this episode, I'll speak with her more about their approach and the other two spots she recommended in her article. But first, for some history on tavern style pizza, as well as how this style can be best executed at home, I sat down with Steve Dolinsky. Now, whether you want to use the term enthusiast, connoisseur, expert, Steve is all of that when it comes to pizza. According to his own website, since 2017, Steve has made it his mission to find Chicago's best pizza and debunk the myth that all Chicagoans eat enormous stuffed pies with two layers of dough. His thesis has always been Chicago is a thin pizza town. Specifically, a tavern-thin one, with pies cut into squares. Steve has written multiple books on the subject of pizza, hosts a podcast called Pizza City, and on top of hosting pizza tours around town, he launched Chicago's Pizza City Fest in 2022, with subsequent events happening in Los Angeles and Nashville later this year. So Steve visited the WBBM studios to talk with me this week about his journey, one slice at a time. Steve, you strike me as someone who may remember their first pizza memory, or at least an early pizza memory that you would deem as sort of life-changing and setting you on your course. Can we start off talking about that? Is there anything that comes to mind?
Sure. It probably would have been Shakey's in Minneapolis, Minnesota, sometime in the 70s. As you may or may not know, Shakey's started in Sacramento in the mid-50s. It was a thin pizza. The cool thing about Shakey's was you could actually stand up in front of the window and watch them make the pizza, which was so exciting.
Yes.
That was part of the fun. It wasn't the world's greatest pizza. In fact, I happened to be in Palm Springs about a year ago, and there's a Shakey's branch still there, and I dragged my wife in there. I said, oh, let's go relive my childhood. It wasn't that great.
It never lives up to it in your mind. Well, let's talk a little bit about the name Tavern Style. Party Cut is also one that we hear. We can't really originate it down to a specific date, a specific place, but when you talk about this with people, how do we know it as Tavern Style to this day?
Because there were bars before there were pizzerias, like Home Run Inn, like Vito and Nick's, they were definitely taverns before they were full-fledged pizzerias. So Home Run Inn's a great example. So Mary Grattani was running that place. Her son-in-law came back from the war in the mid-40s, and then they started this tavern they were doing popcorn as the thing that would get you to be thirsty.
Sure.
So very salty popcorn would encourage you to buy more beers because they made money on the alcohol. Then it morphed into pizza, and this was partly because of technology, the ability to get out of the coal-fired and the wood-fired ovens. You typically would see those ovens on Taylor Street in the 1920s and 30s, but you get to the 1940s, you can do gas-fired oven. You can lower the temperature. You can bake a little bit longer. Hence, you have the ability to get a little bit more creative. You don't need to do these Neapolitan pizzas with the chewy and the blistered and the sort of wet middles. So you can make these thin pizzas. You cut them into squares. You pass them around the bar as a freebie because you can fit the little squares on a cocktail napkin. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the perfect bar snack. Just salty enough, again, to encourage thirst to get you to buy more beers. So you see this happening at Home Run Inn. They become a full-fledged pizzeria in 47. Vito and Nick's was a tavern again in the city, I think on Polk or somewhere near Little Italy. Then they go Southwest Side, and they've been a pizzeria for about 75, 80 years. So it was a tavern before it was a pizzeria, essentially. That's kind of where we see it happening in Chicago.
Yeah. We've seen this uptick, of course, during the lockdown of 2020. Everyone's taking up new hobbies and what have you. And pizza is obviously like one of these big things, right? But you mentioned the way it's cooked. You mentioned these ovens. I would have a feeling that that helps it, right? Somebody at home, it's a lower barrier of entry for this new thing to go, oh, I can make this at home. Is that part of it?
Absolutely. I mean, I've been messing around with this dough press at home and making pizzas at home in the tavern style. And again, some people, there's a Facebook group called, you know, Chicago Thin. You cannot say tavern style.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
okay,
so Chicago Thin, got to represent those people. There's bar pies, tavern pies, right? Party Cut. But it's interchangeable. Chicago Thin and tavern style.
Got it.
So, but the good thing about this style is you can bake it at about 475 or 500, which most people at home get their ovens up to.
Yeah.
Now, I will say the only thing you need to have is a pizza stone. You should invest $30-$35 into a steel or a stone and preheat that in the oven for at least a half an hour. That gives you that crispy bottom that makes this pizza crunch and crackle. That's important with a tavern style pie, but it is much more approachable to people who want to be kind of weekend warriors.
Right.
I see the Gosneys and the Unis and those sort of fancy juiced oven. Even the Breville makes like $1,000 pizza oven. You don't need that for this style. I mean, that's a totally different dough recipe. It's a different flour you're using. It's a different hydration level. It's a different fermentation level. All these different factors. I mean, pizza is so much about, you know, time and temperature. And with a tavern style, it is kind of dummy proof. I mean, I think this is the reason why people who were not chefs, who maybe were bartenders or tavern owners, were making this pizza in the 40s, right?
They could do it.
It wasn't that hard.
Right. That's amazing. What is a topping that not a lot of people think of? We talk about pineapple, talk about a jardinera, obviously, like for the Chicago style. But like, what's something that's a little underrated in your mind? Again, you've written the books, plural, on pizza. So what's an underrated topping that people at home might want to try out?
Well, you mentioned jardinera, and I still think it's important to mention that even if our audience is all Chicagoans, because a lot of them just think of jardinera as an Italian beef condiment.
Mm-hmm.
I, in fact, put it on a tuna salad sandwich today. It was amazing.
Fantastic.
But,
there you go.
Because anything that has richness or mayo or cream or fat. Mozzarella typically is a higher fat item. You've got in Chicago typically sausage, not pepperoni, and that's applied raw. So there's fat and there's fennel. And as that fat renders out into the pie, it's quite rich. Sometimes you can even get like grease pools.
Yeah.
The thing about jardinera is it cuts right through that. It's crunchy, it's briny, it's a little spicy. It's a great balance. Even if it's mild jardinera, it doesn't have to be hot jardinera, but it's just a great I think, counterbalance to the sort of rich, milky mozzarellas you typically see on most pizzas. I don't get, on the West Coast, they put ranch dressing on everything. They dip their pizzas in ranch. Have you seen this? They drizzle ranch.
I got to be honest, Steve. I do it myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that tells me that the quality of the dairy maybe just isn't up to snuff, or your crust isn't that great and that you have to bury it and cover it in something in more dairy. When you go to Robert's Pizza and Dough Company over here in Streeterville, the dough is so good you can eat it on its own because you're eating great bread. It's hot bread.
Right.
I do like things that play sort of with the balance. So like hot honey is another one. Mm-hmm. I like hot honey because it gives you sweet heat. And if you're having something like sopressata that has some heat to it, or hot sausage on your pizza, a little hot honey will cut through that.
Yeah.
So I think, people always balk at pineapple. The thing I don't like about pineapple is the juice.
Yeah.
It's just like when you put on raw mushrooms or onions or even peppers sometimes. When you put those on raw and you bake the pie for 12, 13 minutes, they expel water.
Yeah.
And that's where you get this really sort of... it's like a juicy slice of pizza, which I don't want it dripping with water, right?
Right.
You typically want to find places where they saute the mushrooms ahead of time and then place them on the pizza to bake. And
right.
I will ask that question of the server, do you pre-roast or saute your mushrooms ahead of time? Same thing with pineapple. There's so much juice and water in it. If you can roast it ahead of time, dry it out somehow, or saute it a little bit to get some of that liquid out of it, then when you put a little bit of roasted pineapple on a pie with something spicy like sopressata or sausage, it's a great balance.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And it's so funny that this week, one of the very first Super Bowl commercials I saw was Pizza Hut has now come out with, as you just said,
hot
honey pizza.
I said the same thing to my wife. I'm like, see this? We were talking about this in our pizza world 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Mike's Hot Honey was kind of the first one to do it. But yeah, now a national chain has embraced it.
As they are usually 3 years behind.
Yeah, that was all right.
Exactly. Is there a secret in your mind to not weighing down a really good tavern style? Like, I feel like a Supreme... would, even aside from the cheese, like, I would limit it to like three toppings, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you really want to have that crunchy, thin base, is there a perfected amount of toppings? What do you think?
Yeah, I think, well, for sure, less is more with pizza. I have a term that I use in both books, OBR, which is optimal bite ratio.
Mm.
I think Supremes are kind of selfish on the part of the pizzerias, because what they're doing is, they're upselling you, right? It's 75 cents extra, buck extra for each of these ingredients. Even if it's a sturdier crust, even if it's a Detroit style or a Sicilian, I would never put more than two ingredients besides the sauce and cheese.
Gotcha.
So again, sausage giardiniera is my baseline. It could be a pepperoni only. It could be a pepperoni and hot honey. It could be maybe a spinach only. But again, no more than two ingredients, folks.
Right. And we were talking before we went on air here, the day that this airs is Valentine's Day. And let's talk about that that heart-shaped pizza that most places are doing. I think the battle that I see is that you and your partner are going to spar over that last triangle at the bottom of a heart or whatever, right? Because that's a piece everybody wants.
Let's be honest. Again, I think you're getting less volume for the same amount of money you're spending. You're
right.
Spending money on a medium or a large in some cases, and you're missing a lot of the real estate because of that pizza. So the pizzerias certainly love it. And at the end of the day, it's an Instagram post.
Yes.
It's for the feed. It's for the Insta feed. right? I mean, that's what it's all about. It's about getting the great picture. Look at me. I got a heart shape. I love my partner. We have a heart-shaped pizza. But I think at the end of the day, it's not a good value. And it's not any better tasting, certainly.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, you're right. Tavern style is great pizza. But, why do you think it's taken off to the point where national outlets, Esquire and Bloomberg, are writing about it? I wonder what folks outside of Chicagoland are finally seeing with it. Do you point it to anything in particular?
Oh, yeah. It's outside the Midwest, not just outside Chicago. Part of it is the OBR situation. It's optimal bite ratio. It's hard to get a mouthful of cheese or dough like you would with a stuffed pie. Oftentimes, when people talk about Chicago-style pizza, they're thinking stuffed. And so that's typically kind of a one-note experience. You're getting a lot of either cheese or dough. Or I should say crust. It's dough when it's raw. It's crust when it's baked.
Right.
But I think outside the Midwest, people are like, wow, what is this style? I've never seen this style before. Squares to me are usually our Sicilian squares on the East Coast,
mm-hmm.
right? When we've been on the West Coast doing our pizza event in LA, you cannot find tavern style pizza anywhere. And yet we know there are expats, people who've been transplanted out there, and they miss their Barnabys, they miss their Vito and Nick's, what have you. So I do think it's a novelty. Just like Detroit was 3-4 years ago, people started talking about Detroit. Detroit-style pizza. You know, yeah. what this new style of pizza? It's been around since 1946, folks.
Right.
But tavern style has been around, again, since the 1930s or 40s, for sure. It's a novelty. It's something that's unique, and it's eye-catching. It's like, it's wow, what is that? You know, you can hold up a little square, and it holds its shape. It doesn't flop.
Yeah.
A lot of times people talk about traditional pieces of pizza. It's always about the flop. Does it flop or not? Can you fold it in half? And you don't have that issue. Typically, with a good tavern style, it should hold its shape like a cracker. It's easier to eat. It's a lot more fun. You can, I mean, one person could probably destroy a 14-inch pizza by themselves.
For sure.
There's not a lot of crust to this. So I don't find it as filling. I can enjoy more of the pizza this way. For so many people, for millions of people, it's their childhood in the Midwest, I think. You know, I'm from Minnesota. I went to school in Wisconsin. I've worked in Michigan and Illinois and Iowa. I'm very familiar with this pizza and how prevalent it is. And it's just, it's everywhere. But especially in Chicago. People talk about Chicago-style pizza. I always go back to this is the original style, Chicago-style pizza. Because, you know, again, this was around in the 40s in spades versus one place called the pizzeria, or then it became Uno's later in 43, you know, and then 55, we had Dewey's, and 66, we had Gino's East, and 71, you get Lou's and the floodgates open. But, you know, that's 30 years later. Tavern style is really our style of pizza. So I think it's catching on because people from Chicago have spread out around the country,
yeah.
And you've got people living in other parts of the country. I can get tavern style now outside of Nashville.
Right.
There's a guy in Clarksdale making tavern style pizza. There's a yep. guy in Long Beach making tavern style pizza. So that's what's cool about it. And when people get turned on to it, they're like, wow, this is really, really good.
Yeah. And you bring up a great point with Nashville. It's not uncommon to find a hot chicken place. Depends on how good it is, but like in any major city now.
I mean, listen, people are curious in this country. We got 300 plus million people. So we're curious. We're big eaters. We love to try things. We're really into regional specialties. When I go somewhere, you know, if I'm going to be in the Southeast, you know, I want to eat crabs. You know, when I'm going to be in the West Coast, I want to have something that's specific there. So when I'm in the Midwest, you know, yeah, you want to have tavern style pizza. That's what we should be known for, just like anywhere else in the country.
I got to ask, how much pizza do you eat a week? Is it something at home if you're making it? Is that a Friday night thing? Is it every other? I mean, like, what you've made this your career. I just figure curious.
Yeah, I probably on average, I mean, I'm probably making pizza at home every 10, 12 days just because I want to get, you know, used to the practice of it and of the tavern style only that I'm making. And then I probably go out probably three times a week for pizza.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I'm going somewhere that maybe has pizza, but they're known for something else, I'll still try the pizza just so I can sort of check that box.
Yeah.
But I would say I'm eating pizza in some shape or form three times a week.
And what's the last, what we'll leave listeners with this, what's the last like terrific piece of pizza you had in the city?
Well, I just did something about Pizza Mata, which is in Logan Square. Jason Vincent, the chef at Giant, and he started with an East Coast style pizza that was pretty good. And then he added a special doing tavern style. And now that tavern style is on the menu every day. So both his pizzas are really interesting. The East Coast is like an 8-day ferment. So really kind of funky, earthy sourdough chew. And then his tavern style is this textbook, crispy, crunchy, cracker thin.
Yeah.
So I liked Pizza Mata, M-A-T-T-A. It's on Armitage, about 3200 block of West Armitage.
Fantastic. Steve, thanks for sharing your expertise. Here's to finding the next great piece of pizza. And I appreciate you sharing a lot of your knowledge with listeners today. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
After the break, Chicago Tribune food critic Louisa Chu dishes as well on Pizza Mata, as well as Bungalow by Middlebrow and Professor Pizza, distinguishing their approaches to tavern-style pies. Stay tuned. Louisa Chu is a James Beard-nominated food critic for the Chicago Tribune, where she published a recent article on three Chicago restaurants doing tavern styles that she deems impeccable. She was born in Hong Kong, but moved to Chicago very early on. So I wanted to ask her about her earliest pizza memories in the city.
My earliest memories of pizza were delivery from father and son back in the day when the crust was kind of almost nearly indistinguishable from the cardboard box in which it was delivered. The crust was not good. And actually, I have to admit that my regular neighborhood pizza place now, the crust is not very good. I mean, it's kind of like floury and you peeled the top off and you ate the toppings. You never ate the crust as a kid because the crust was not good.
There's such a science, right, to this type of pizza in particular, making sure that the sauce, the toppings, the cheese, you want to make sure that the crust is carrying, to use a word, those things and delivering them to you in a great way so that there is some crunch there. But yeah, I think a lot of people, especially with takeout or delivery, and not so much dine-in, tend to think this thing is going to be, you know, soggy by the time I get it.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a reason why the phrase pizza bones exists, because you ate like the topping, and if you couldn't unstick it, you ate the stuff that was under, but like the crust, the edge itself, it was like, that's pizza bones. You didn't eat it. You know, that's like the idea that we grew up with. And as far as science is concerned, that's become like a fairly kind of newer thing with a, you know, newer generation that's making this, you know, tavern style pizza, that it's really so good. The crust is so incredible, but like, there's still plenty of regular Chicago neighborhood pizzerias where like there's no science involved whatsoever.
Yeah, and I'm learning something new today. I've never heard pizza bones before. So thank you so much for telling me that. I'm going to be using that, I think.
Totally. And everybody knows what you're talking about, right? Like when you say pizza bones, it's that edge that's like inedible, because it's like, you know, no, I'm not sure that's very good for my digestive system.
What made you focus specifically on these three proprietors in particular?
Because they have each been doing this other style of pizza, but then they also added on tavern pizza, or what I'd like to call right now, new tavern style. And it became regularly available. It's ranged from like really amazing and great, from like, say, Lido Nick's on the south side and Pat's on the north side, where it's like thin and crisp and delicious. And then Kim's Uncle Pizza, the kids behind Pizza Fried Chicken Ice Cream, started doing this like also like amazing thin crust pizza, but really hasn't been until like this trio started doing something like completely different. Like they sort of like went off the charts in terms of like the extreme execution of like the thin crust at Bungalow, where they only do it on Tuesday. It's like so thin. I was like, this is like an abstract idea of a pizza. You've never seen pizza this thin ever,
wow.
Ever.
Yeah.
And Pizza Mata, again, the toppings, like the care, you know, which you would expect from Chef Jason Vincent, who is a James Beard nominated outstanding chef, you know, nationwide. The amount of thought and care that he puts into his cheese is like, it's like it redefines plain cheese pizza. No such thing as plain. And then you get Professor Pizza, where like the toppings are so incredibly like fanciful. You know, he's got these like whipped ricotta rosettes. You look at it and you're like, I'm looking at this landscape that's edible pizza. It's like clouds of ricotta and then like this chiffonade of basil and then like these tiny little sweetie peppers. I'm like, I have never experienced those sweetie pepper chilies. You know, we kind of reached this point where it just seemed to make sense to focus on these three doing these really different styles of new tavern style pizza.
Well, I wanted to break down some of the reviews in here and kind of talk about each place real briefly. I loved how, now Bungalow by Middlebrow, that in your article, you used the word communion in describing them, because I grew up a kid going to Catholic grade school. Yeah. So I'm picturing a communion wafer like
yes.
thinness here with obviously, thank goodness, a lot more flavor. Yeah. You mentioned it's very flaky, but mm-hmm. the thing that stood out to me in the article is that Bungalow is doing even smaller cuts than your traditional tavern style.
Completely. It was funny. I'm so glad that you brought that up. I wanted to mention that idea of communion, because it is like the communion, the community, and the communion with like this history. But I didn't want it to seem too blasphemous, you know, I mean, just out of respect
for, sure.
For people's beliefs. But the religion of pizza in Chicago is definitely a thing. When I first got it, it was so funny because, like, of course, pizza connoisseurs know that that corner triangular piece is like the most coveted. And like, I got ones that were so tiny. They were like half the size of my pinky nail. And I'm like, what's going on here? It's like, what is this? A corner piece for ants? You know, I mean, it was like so hilarious. And so I was talking about it to Pete Turnus, who he created the pizza. He's one of the founders of Middlebrow Brewery. And he was the creator of that style at Bungalow, which is their restaurant side. And he was like, yeah, we deliberately like really try to like cut them as small as possible. I'm like, why? It's just like, it's just something fun. And I think that's hilarious. Again, not only extremely thin, but extremely small. And then they're so careful when they bring it to your table that those little corner pieces don't just like fly off, you know, because that happens. And so it is just like this absolute amazing, almost like performance art piece when it comes to tavern style pizza.
That's amazing. And obviously, you know, when you're talking about pieces that small, that it's like what I talked about the toppings and the sauce before too. You mm-hmm. don't want it then all of a sudden, oh, just my fingers now are just covered in toppings and sauce. The fact that it's so small but yet so thin and so hefty though on the bottom to be able to hold that flavor is really an important thing.
Absolutely. And really crisp and crunchy, but like not just simply a cracker, because like I've had those like fancy crackers I love on like the charcuterie boards. But it's like cracker crunchy to have that heft, like you're saying, to hold the toppings, which are incredibly also finely considered. But then there is like some pliability in there, like layers of a croissant, you know? Yeah. So it's incredible how much they pack in there into these layers.
Well, and I recall some focus on the veggie pizza in that part of the article too at Bungalow. Is there something in the presentation and base of the crust and sauce that ups the game of the veggies on that one? Because as you guys were talking in the article, it's clear like the veggie pizza is not the first thing you might go to, but yet you highly recommend it coming from Bungalow.
Actually, we both talked about how we hated the Veggie Supreme. The Veggie Supreme was like the pizza that parents ordered because like the kids should have a vegetable on pizza night. And there are varying schools of thought about like what makes a veggie supreme, but you almost always had green pepper because that was like the vegetable that was available typically at a pizzeria. And I personally kind of hate how most green peppers, sweet peppers are prepared, having grown up in a Chinese chop suey, you know, family restaurant. Here it was just sliced like batons, crisp. And then the mushrooms are like, I mean, like fallen leaves from autumn. They make the base layer of this pizza, so they're almost like imperceptible. And, you know, and then like just like fine strings of onion, which when they bake, they kind of like curl up and like have the additional texture. So, yeah. So, no, we actually kind of hate Veggie Supreme, or we hated it. And there it's like, boom, it takes you back. It's the flavor of nostalgia. Imagine if we would have had childhoods where we loved Veggie Supreme. I don't know.
That'd be one way to get me to eat my veggies, that's for sure. I have a 5-year-old now. He's all about pepperoni. But that would be the ideal delivery vehicle, I suppose.
Totally.
It'd just be through pizza. You know, over at Pizza Mata, it's about a 3-minute drive from Bungalow. Mm-hmm. And Jason Vincent, who you brought up before, he says he didn't grow up with tavern style, right? He grew up in Cleveland. It wasn't a thing there. Yet you feel this place is one of the best doing it. So I think that's pretty special that he was able to like perfect this thing that he hasn't like had in his DNA all his life.
Absolutely. When Jason first approached his chef and partner about opening a pizzeria, they asked him like, hey, you want to do tavern style? And he's like, no. Because he just like didn't have that, again, emotional connection to it.
Right.
But he's able to bring in the awareness. Like he was telling me that, you know, he listens. He observes what's important about that style of pizza. And then he was able to bring in Billy Z, also known as Tripping Billy, who is a muscular dystrophy advocate in Chicago. And he shared his recipe, and Jason was able to translate that to, you know, pizzeria volume. And so he understood that it needed to be crisp and crunchy, but again, have some chew and texture. And then the importance of like the, you know, again, that sauce and the cheese and, you know, that being like the fundamentals of what makes Chicago style tavern important. Even though he didn't grow up with it, he as a like an amazing chef understood what was important.
Well, let's talk about cornmeal real quick with Pizza Mata. Mm-hmm. Like, what is cornmeal's function in keeping that crust rather crispy?
So tavern style, actually, both at Pizza Mata and Professor Pizza, and especially Professor Pizza, it's not just a sprinkling. They're talking about like handfuls incorporated into the dough. And that really gives it an additional texture. It really changes the character of the dough in terms of the fermentation. You know, this is, again, one of the big, big differences with this new school, you know, the new tavern style, which is like when they make the dough, they're not making pizza with that dough that same day. It takes like sometimes 4-5 days, depending on the flour, depending on like the, you know, season. And that cornmeal really then adds to the character, the flavor, and the texture. That's a really distinctive Chicago style, again, thin crust tiramisu pizza.
And Professor Pizza, of the three in this article, they're thinking a little bit more outside the box as far as the toppings go. Ricotta is naturally heavy. When we get a pizza, my wife and I love getting like a white pizza, but that ricotta will really weigh a pizza down. So if I'm them, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what can I do to like bring that essence there, but yet make it lighter?
So not only does he whip the ricotta or the ricotta, but he and his team, you know, they pipe it into these rosettes. And so it gives it like volume. It lifts the flavors and it also tempers like the extreme saltiness and like some of that sweetness from like the tiramisu, you know, sauce, which is really classic. And again, some of the saltiness too from like the sausage, because sausage is a really classic, you know, we're a sausage town. But yeah, so he really adds to it visually to the point where when I brought some home to my family, someone said, they're like, that looks like a pastry. It looks like dessert. And they just couldn't believe how much that it was just it like tasted so savory still and maintained all of the character, all those like emotional nostalgic notes of this looks completely different, but I recognize this as being Chicago style pizza.
So I want to close out our conversation with a quote from Tony Scardino from Professor Pizza in your article, who said that, you know, in the last 120 years, it seems like if you were going to be part of the artisanal pizza scene, you had to be doing something indigenous to Italy. And I think he's right, because I feel like there's this reach in all kinds of art for authenticity, right? Whether that's food or music or what have you. You want to be reverential to what came before or where these things originally came from. But tavern style tends to be thought of as quintessentially American, more specifically Chicago. It's essentially been around for less than 100 years. So just to wrap up, you know, why do you think this particular style has taken off and become one that, you know, these national media outlets are covering, people are trying to perfect either in their own restaurants or at home? You're a food critic. What is it that you think is really driving that?
I think a lot of it is just deliciousness. Like, we understand it, we get it. Again, if you believe like the myth, the legend that this really grew up in blue collar working class taverns, people understand it at that level. It can really become elevated to like James Beard chefs to that level. So it starts off with a fundamental base layer of like, I understand this. Like, we understand what this is. You understand what this is. Your kids understand what that is. And then we can literally have so many things that we can manipulate and change with it. And yet it still can be like a really fine expression of technique. And I think that's one of the big challenges and the exciting things for chefs too, that it's like, there's so little that you can really work with, that it's like a challenge. And I think a lot of chefs across the country are really feeling like, you know, challenge accepted. And then the other part of it is that it doesn't hold the stigma nationwide that deep dish or stuffed pizza has. It kind of relates a little bit more back to the Italian origin story of pizza, which is like, again, the thinner crust.
This episode of Looped In Chicago was written, hosted, edited, and produced by me, Jim Hankey, with additional audio recording by Chris Lopez and Anne-Marie Welser. WBBM's news director is Craig Schwab, and Myron Kaplan is our managing producer of national news podcasts. You can follow us on TikTok at WBBM News Radio 105.9, as well as on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at WBBM News Radio. And on all those outlets, we'll have visuals this week from our visit to Bungalow by Middlebrow. Thanks for listening, and we'll keep you looped in again right here next week. See you then.